Hey, this is Dan Ram with Ram Tough Designs right here on the B Plus Player Radio Network. If you're looking for high quality vinyl graphics, banners, storefront signage, promotional items, or custom apparel at affordable prices, then look no further. Ram Tough Designs has everything you need from design to production. All our orders ship within 7 business days upon receipt of artwork and payment. For any pro wrestling promotions in the area, we also offer ring skirts, entrance banners, magnets, ring graphics, and more. So give us a call at 484-903-7013 or find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and more at Ram Tough Designs. You could also email us at ramtoughdesigns@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and we look forward to bringing your ideas to life.
The following program is brought to you by B Plus Player Radio. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests therein and do not necessarily reflect the views of this network, our affiliates, or our sponsors. For more information, please visit us on Facebook and Twitter at B Plus Radio. And now,
it's showtime, folks!
You're listening to A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with the genuine article, Sean Donovan. And now, here's your host, Sean Donovan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of A Genuine Taste of Wrestling. And I am joined by, I would say, one of the hottest independent professional wrestlers. Also, I guess you would call yourself an entertainer. Sort of getting into the movie industry, commercial industry, television industry. Activist, we call you?
Yeah, you could say that.
All right, we'll call him an activist. So please welcome Anthony Bowens to the podcast.
Hey, everybody.
So we just like to free roam and nothing that is pertinent. But I'm not going to get into the whole how would you start in professional wrestling. That's just, yeah, that's kind of cliche. If it comes up, it comes up. But you're kind of venturing outside the world of professional wrestling a little bit to get yourself out there. I think you just finished a pretty big commercial with Lunchables.
That's correct. So, I was out in Chicago for the last 3 days trying to get that done. It was very fun. Very fun.
So professional wrestling is, I would say, the heart of where you started everything. Mm-hmm. And how did all these things come into play? You've done commercials for cable, right?
So basically, outside of wrestling, I'm with my agency, BMG, which is out of New York. So I do a bunch of, or at least try to, modeling and acting gigs wherever they may come or if I fit the profile for it. And I think it works in conjunction with pro wrestling, obviously, considering it's entertainment. And I want to make sure, I made a kind of a, I guess, a decision that I needed to really up my game outside of the ring and become more of a well-rounded performer. So I started taking more acting classes. I just actually completed an improv class. I did the regional commercial with Optimum, and I just did my first national one with Lunchables. Did a couple of modeling stuff and the magazine stuff. So I'm trying to become as well-rounded as possible.
Yeah, I think, because I did the same thing, and I don't know if you followed the same path. I think one of the hardest things I had trouble with when I first started in professional wrestling was I couldn't talk in front of people. You know, I'd be deathly afraid to go up in front of 10 students when I was in college to be able to talk. And I knew that that was part of the game with professional wrestling. And I don't remember who told me about it, but I had heard through the grapevine of a company called Toastmasters that does public speaking and improv classes. Mm-hmm. And I did some of those for a good 2 months. And I came out of that being able to talk in front of hundreds of people, and it just opened up my confidence level. I mean, what did those improv classes do for you to make you more well-rounded as a performer?
Well, I just finished, but I have noticed a bit of a difference as far as just being able to, obviously, improv, there's no preparation, so I'm a little bit more off the cuff with things. Because, honestly, I was fine. Like, if I was cutting a promo in the ring, I was okay. I was comfortable with doing it, but like when you said, if I was in a smaller group of people, or if I'm just one-on-one with a camera, I kind of freeze up unless you've given me something to say specifically that I memorized. So I think it's given me a little bit more of the ability to just kind of have more of a free range of just, you know, weighing it.
Yeah, I think the improv class has really helped me from not just a promo level and a confidence level, but I think it gave me an all-around balanced confidence level that just added to my in-ring ability. I felt like, okay, I've got the public speaking part down now. Now I just need to continue learning how to do certain things in the ring. But then it gave me a confidence level to be more vocal throughout the match a little bit more. I felt more confident.
Yeah,
is that?
I've noticed that too, where I'm kind of letting down, I don't want to say like the barriers, but I just feel a little bit more free in the ring. I'm not as uptight as I used to be. I'm just having more fun with stuff because I feel comfortable in doing so. I don't have to be scared to do anything, you know? You know what I'm trying to say?
Of course, yeah. No, I think that's the way it should be. I think for anyone that is interested in getting into professional wrestling, I think that the talking game is what you need to have. And I think if you don't have that game, you're going to be out of the realm of things. I think the biggest thing I can think to come out of improv classes is just the natural, you find your natural personality in there. I think you find a little bit of that natural charisma that we all try to find as a performer. I think those improv classes teach you to kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit and really...
It forced me to kind of just throw myself to the wolves type thing, because you have to perform, and they also make you do a improv show at the end of the class, which I did last Sunday, I think it was, and I had so much fun. But the weird thing is I kind of found it was easier to improv as a character than it was to improv as just myself. So the way like the show was set up is like you would come out and you go to the audience, hey, I need a one-work suggestion. Somebody yells out bike, and then the first thing you think of that reminds you of a bike, you tell a story. And then once that story's over with, your teammates are trying to pick up little details of what you said during the story that you can improv off of and use. And then two people step out and you just create a scene from that. And I found that it was harder for me to just come out there as Anthony Bowens and, I don't want to say act, but it was hard for me to do that as opposed to me coming out having a specific character in mind. Like if I came out and pretended I was a grandmother and I talked like this, I was like, it was easier for me to just continue going as opposed to just being me. So I got to figure out that part. I'm planning on taking the second level of improv, so I'm hoping to work that out in that class.
So where does that transition into the world of professional wrestling? I mean, you are trying to get yourself out there in a number of different media platforms, but does that put wrestling on the back burner, or does it still keep it more as a forefront? You know, where's the path leading for an Anthony Bowens at this stage of your wrestling and entertainment career?
I'm definitely not putting wrestling as a back burner at all, because I love doing it and I want to continue to do it, but I'm trying to put a little bit more focus on everything else because I'm starting to realize how important that is. You know, I consider myself very good in the ring. Obviously, I still have a ton of learning to do, but I have confidence in myself with that, so now I need to bring everything else up to speed, especially if I want to move up and eventually fulfill my dream, which is to be in WWE. I have to be an all-around performer, and I know they enjoy my in-ring work, but I need them to like, you know, my personality and everything surrounding it.
So you feel like, in a way, your own personality is like, and your own, as a person, as Anthony Bowens, that you have to have a portfolio of all this work, and you have to diversify yourself in all these different areas that will show somebody like WWE that you have a lot more value to them than just being an in-ring performer.
Correct.
So where does that take you on the path of professional wrestling currently? Because you've been doing this for, what, 5 years now? A little longer?
I think next... What's today? The 18th? I think it's next... In the next 2 weeks, it'll be 5 years.
So 5 years. Where have you seen yourself grow as an in-ring performer 5 years ago up until now? And I know you said earlier that, you know, you still have more learning to do, and we all do. You never perfect this craft, but... Where do you see yourself from 5 years ago just starting to now? Did you see the success that you had in a five-year plan? Did you even have a plan? Or
The way I like to do things is I like to create one big goal and then make a series of smaller ones that lead up to it. Because I think if you just focus on just one big thing, you kind of lose out and miss out on the things that you should be focusing on along the way. I don't particularly... remember making a five-year plan or trying to figure out where I would want to be in 5 years. Everybody says WWE, oh, I'm going to be here in NXT in 5 years. But I'm also a kind of person who lives in the moment, although I plan for the future, even though it's kind of contradicting, contradicting yeah. statement. But I kind of just go along for things that pop up along the way.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in the first 5 years that I was wrestling, I didn't have those goals either. I also didn't have a lot of the people around to help teach me the way there are a lot of people around now.
Yeah.
And I think you have those guys now that can say, hey, you got to create a five-year plan for yourself. But, you know, don't say it's one giant goal, but have, like you said, those mini bullet points of those other goals that you want to accomplish on the way. For me, it was WWE was everything back in the day. And because that, I feel like I didn't accomplish some of those other goals that I wanted. You know, I stayed in one spot for a certain period because that period of time I had better ties to WWE, whereas I see a lot of guys now making it to WWE. They had little bullet points in their career. They went to an Impact, or they went to a Ring of Honor, or they went to a Japan, where for me, I felt like it was not necessarily a mistake, but it was just the path that I was on, that I was just told WWE is the end-all, be-all, and anywhere you go other than that is second best, and you don't want to be second best. I mean, where do you see your career going at this point? If something were to happen to go internationally, is that something that you would veer off on? Or
what do you mean internationally?
Japan, Mexico, all those places.
I mean, I've done England, which I would love to do again, and that was the first experience I had. In a, I guess a tour-like setting where we wrestled every night, mostly twice a night, for like almost 2 weeks. I couldn't move my neck by the time I got back home, but I think it was a very, very cool experience. But I would love to, I guess, expand upon that. I was supposed to go back a second time, but my the old shoot job at MLB kind of screwed that over. I was going to do... England, Wales, and then I had things potentially set up in Germany and Ireland, but at that point I had to stop negotiations because real life kind of kicked me in the face.
So kind of veer off on that a little, because I know, and again, I'm going based off of my previous experiences of it was pro wrestling has to be your life. Forget your shoot job, forget everything. If you want to make it, it's hands-on 24/7, and that may have been the case many moons ago, but I feel like now one of the reasons why wrestling is so hard to balance and get into is because our society is so different now, in the fact that our economy is different and we have to make money in order to survive. And I tell people, you got to have a fallback plan. I know some people believe in that, some people don't, but if you don't have a fallback plan, how do you have the money to pay for gas to get to that event you're gonna you're gonna perform on? So, I mean, do you feel like some outside experiences have, or outside life has, kind of hindered some of your opportunities?
Oh yeah, because the first 3 years I was free. I was working at I was like a barback / bartender, and my schedule was, I guess, light, and I was free to travel as much as I wanted and go wherever I wanted and wrestle as much as I wanted and kind of like do the whole pay your dues thing. And then real life kicked in because I had student loans. I wanted to move out. I had to pay my bills. I had to help my mom and my parents because my dad's retired. You have to chip in with them every once in a while. So I had to make a decision of, I understand you have to sacrifice a lot of stuff in the wrestling industry, but also at the same time, you have to live. So I went out and used my fallback plan, which in my degree, which is broadcasting, and I ended up working at Major League Baseball, the network, for the last 2.5-3 years, and that required you to work on the weekends. So I went from wrestling Friday, Saturday, Sunday to just wrestling on Saturdays because I had to work Friday and I had to work Sunday. And, you know, a lot of people who have that freedom to get around, they can work from, you know, Thursday night all the way through Sunday every weekend, which I wish I had the ability to do, but I just couldn't.
Hey, do you think that that hinders when an opportunity comes up, let's say a WWE? Do you think that they would value more that you have a fallback plan and show that you're trying to build yourself as a responsible adult rather than someone who is just kind of taking the wrestling world as a weekend job, so to, or being a weekend warrior, so to speak? Do you think they would value what you're doing more than as opposed to just not having any type of adult responsibilities
the
and just trying
WWE?
WWE, to being able to make it there? Do you think they value what you're doing now as a,
well,
I guess you're hustling.
So. But I, if I ever, for all the stuff I've done with WWE, I made sure that I got off work.
Yeah.
They were, to their credit, they gave me the leniency when I did really need to do something important, they would let me go and do it, but it just couldn't be like a frequent every weekend type thing.
Right.
And they even gave me the leeway to wrestle on Saturdays because most people, they want them in on Saturday. So
right.
They gave me that. That was the trade-off. I worked Friday and Sunday, and I had the Saturdays off to do what I needed to do.
So where does it take you now in your current, I guess, what is the current Anthony Bowens? You know, we've seen different incarnations from starting out and being a group with the Untouchables. You know, we've seen some different iterations of you incorporating Mighty Morphin Power Rangers into your character. All the stuff that you've been doing now with improv classes, you know, where is Anthony Bowens now in 2017?
I'm still running with the Power Rangers thing because I love it too much. I still have a bunch of other ideas in mind for it that I want to
slowly incorporate
yeah. until I kind of veer towards something else. But I think people seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah.
And it makes me a little less boring than regular Anthony Bowen. So I'm just going to keep rolling with it until like I feel personally that it gets stale.
I think that's the biggest problem I think that I see, and it's just my opinion in wrestling, is that when guys have an idea to try something, they give you the entire bag of chips, so to speak, as opposed to giving it to you in segments. Because if you give them the entire bag of chips, well, once they finish that bag, they've got nothing left. But
correct.
If you give them little segments and they can see every couple of months that something new has been added, whether it's to your entrance gear, to your persona, to your actual ring gear, people all of a sudden start to see a diversification, if you want to call it, in your character. If you start giving them segments, man,
yeah,
it's something I
so
believe in.
It's this has been happening over the course of, I think it's a year and a half now, where I slowly but surely started doing. I mean, I think it kind of happened that way naturally. I didn't really plan it to like, oh, well, a year and a half in, I'll have this, this, and this. It just kind of naturally went that way. I just started yelling, it's Morphin time or something. And then I think Pat suggested, why don't you say it's Bowen's time? Because, you know, to throw a little bit of yourself into it. So then I started saying it's Bowen's time. I started doing the whole ninja, the Ninja Rangers hand symbol for the morphing time thing. I did buy, which I bang my head against the wall of every time I see it, I bought this really cool, like $400 or $500, this vest. And it kind of, if you were to see today, people probably would go, oh, that kind of looks like Naomi. But it was like this really cool light up LED jacket vest thing. And I wanted to get gear that glowed. And this thing had a bunch of different colors, and all we needed to do was shut the lights off. But that was around the time when our light fader broke.
Right.
So we couldn't turn the lights off. And there's not many indie companies out there that have their own lighting systems to the point where they can rig it like that. So it ended up being a big waste of money because I came out and it It was just too much light. So then I got rid of that, and then I got logos designed, and then eventually I found this company in China that produced the cosplay Power Ranger things, which is where I got the original Dragon Shield. But that was made out of like PVC piping, and it started to crack. And then I believe it was in June when I was wrestling Brian Cage. I hit my pose on the second rope during my entrance, and it doesn't give you a lot of mobility. So I took one step on the top and almost fell over. So I just ripped it off and threw it on the ground and broke it. And then I finally got this newest one made, which is really comfortable.
Yeah, it's like,
and
it's like
Paul likes to run around in.
Yeah, I think it just kind of reminds me of one of those like airplane pillows you kind of just comfortability
cozy
on.
Thing
yeah,
you put around your neck. It's nice.
But what do you consider, or I guess not consider, but like the presentation of a character? Like, for me, I have gotten so many outfits and so many pairs of tights, and I've had to spend hundreds of dollars, whereas I know not everybody may necessarily want or have to do that, but I felt like for me, it kept evolving my character over time, where I see a lot of independent wrestlers, they run with the same gear for over a year, if not more, and I feel like it stagnates their personality and their character, and over time, their gear gets so worn. I was always taught you should upgrade your gear every 4 to 6 months. And I know, again, it's very expensive, but I think that's some of the, if you want to call it the trials and tribulations that you go through as a performer trying to find yourself, is trying so many different outfits. I think I kind of the same way. When I open up my drawer and I see all the amount of long tights that I've worn over 15 years, and now I find myself over the last 6 months switching to trunks, and I'm like, wow, I should have done this years ago, or B, these are so much more inexpensive than long tights. So it's like, man, I wasted all that money, but I realize if I didn't do all that I probably may not have ended up in this position and in current incarnation where I finally have, you know, kind of found who I am. Do you kind of feel like all the different outfits you've gone through have kind of helped elevate who you are? And
Now I notice the difference, because when I first started, not that I said anything it was important, but it wasn't really something that I thought of. I just kind of wore the biker shorts, and then I had the Untouchable bikers. And once the Untouchables ended, I switched to like a really plain version of the Untouchables look, but in trunks. I just had that in kick pads, and it was just so boring. And I wore that for a very, very long time. And then I was like, I think even Pat said something too. He was like, you need to like up your gear game a lot. And then once I started getting the gear, I noticed how people reacted to it. Hell, even, you know, you saw when the Power Rangers tweeted me, I marked out for that.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed now, so I'm always thinking of different color schemes and what can I add to the entrance gear, what can I add to the in-ring gear. And I think the time frame of 4 to 6 months is, I think that's like perfect.
Yeah.
Although I get tempted to like buy something after the first show.
I'm the same way. Like I think you and I are kind of going in like opposite directions, where you're trying to up your game on the entrance, you know, and character gear, and I'm kind of in the same way, but changing my personality. I feel like I'm getting away from that flashy colors that I used to wear, and I'm kind of going with more of a very old school drummed down look that I feel like
it helps your character a lot.
It helps my character a lot more, but I almost feel like now as I look at myself and I have a couple of different colors now, I think I'm getting back into that realm again. But it's okay, well, what color scheme can I do differently? Can I change the color on this? What if I do a vest differently on this?
Yeah.
So my wheels are always constantly turning of how I can keep myself fresh and updated and keep people thinking of what's he going to do next, or what the character is going to evolve into at a certain point. So I think it doesn't matter the character. I've always believed that you have to be hands-on with yourself as a business person, that, you know, you are your own business. So what you represent is what fans are going to see you as. And if you're not investing in good quality gear, or you're not investing in the right color schemes or designs that are going to complement your character, I feel like you're just going to look like everybody else, and you're not going to stand out among everybody else. And that's something I'm very anal about. I'm always anal about standing out from everybody else. How can I look different? How can I act different? Do you have any of those type of things that you notice? Do you look around the locker room and shows you're at and saying, how am I going to be different from this guy? How am I different from that guy? What's his character? What's his gear? All those weird things that go through our heads as performers. Do you the same way as me?
I do. I do that a lot. And I'm starting to look outside that as well, because I think one of the biggest problems with being an independent wrestler is sometimes, other than people just flat out looking at you and making their decision of whether they like you or not, there isn't much of a way to get your personality over with the audience, except for that 1 8-minute segment a month, depending on where you work and what regions you work in. So I think a lot of people need to take advantage, which a lot do, take advantage of technology and figure out ways to connect with audiences more, which my means is now that Mike and I have our YouTube channel, it's just a different means of, hey, that's a really cool wrestler that I see every month, to, hey, now I see this guy on a weekly basis, yeah, and I get to know his personality a lot more, and then they can decide whether or not they truly like you or dislike you.
So let's kind of jump forward. Actually, I did have something I wanted to go to, but we'll kind of put that in the back burner for a minute. So talk about that YouTube channel that you and Mike have.
Well, it's very simple. It's called Michael and Anthony. And we basically do a combo of vlogs, skits, and challenges. Challenges more for just like YouTube. That's what a lot of YouTube is for. There's a lot of kids on there. They like to see people do those different kinds of challenges. But we like to have the vlogs and the skits because we like to show people our personalities a lot more, because we both have very strong personalities, and I think in kind of different ways, although similar. Even though I'm a very, you know how I am, I'm very quiet and shy most of the time, but I like to entertain, and I can't do that being just regular old me. So when I pop on that switch, I had to figure out a way to show people I have that side of me outside of just, you know, beating somebody up for 5 minutes in a wrestling ring.
So where do you, and maybe this is just me, because I've always thought of YouTube as places to listen to, you know, music or look at funny videos, or again, like wrestling nuts that we are, study matches. You seem to be tapping into a different way that YouTube can be used. I mean, how do you look at YouTube in the era that we're in now?
I mean, depends on how many people are watching it, but it kind of gives you a voice to. We use it in that sense, and also in a large way to help people, to show. Basically, we would consider ourselves like LGBTQ advocates, and we're trying to show people that the community comes in all different shapes and sizes, and people have different personalities, and it's just something. We're just different, so we're different in our own way, and it's bringing a lot of. What's the word I'm looking for? I guess hope to people that not everything is a certain way, and not everything can be viewed as, like, a lot of people view all that stuff as negative and stuff like that, but we're trying to take any type of negativity that's out there and twist it and turn it into positive for other people.
So you've been pretty open about your, I guess, how would you describe it? Because there's so many different terms that people want to use. Some people take it as offensive. Some people take it as accepting, you know. How would you describe, you know, being
my open. Sexuality?
Yeah, oh, being open about your sexuality.
Yeah.
So I mean, but how do you feel like that is, you know, viewed as in the community and in our world? Because for so many years it was considered as being, you know, obviously if you want to use the word taboo. But do you feel
I don't care anymore. I'm just happy with being myself.
Yeah.
The last, I want to say, year and a half has been the happiest I've ever been in my entire life, because I'm not walking around with that burden of anymore of that people are going to judge me or any of that crap. I'm just free to be myself. I'm free to be, and nothing's changed. Yeah. I'm still the same person. So I don't know. I'm just happy.
Do you feel all between that, the YouTube channel, the improv class, do you feel like you are a completely different person than you were a year ago, or do you feel like there's still certain aspects that maybe you feel a little hesitation on? Or
no, I'm a lot more free. I'm open with my story and just being what it's like to be me. it has opened up other avenues. It's given me a platform to kind of speak to other people and kind of help them along, because there's so many people struggling out there. Mm-hmm. Even people you wouldn't even suspect are right. struggling. Yeah. So I want to make those people feel comfortable enough to make themselves open to other people as well, without having to have that fear that people will be judging them. And you can't eliminate that entirely, because there's always going to be people out there with, you know, completely negative views on stuff. But if it even brings you the slightest chance of being a happier person, then right. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's funny, because I, you know, growing up, I went to Catholic school, and you know, again, not saying I'm, you know, light years, you know, older than you, but, you know, I think in that time period that I went to school, you know, I think that was, at that time in the 80s, that was still kind of considered, at least in the realm of Catholicism, it was very taboo. And I think even now...
I have noticed a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of the negativity, yeah. especially, like, you should yeah. see, so I don't know if you've ever read any of the comments on our YouTube videos.
I haven't.
For every, I want to say every 30 to 40 really positive comments, there's one, like, really, yeah. really, like, bad. Yeah. And
it's like the Christ of you know, the power of Christ will compel it, you know what I mean, all that.
90% yeah. of it's religious-based.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, again, even though I went to school and that was kind of taught to be not the right thing, you know, I was lucky enough to be raised by parents that always said everyone is equal, it don't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter, you know, which side of the fence you swing on, so to speak. We're all human beings. You treat each other the way you want to be treated. And I'm lucky enough to be raised like that, where so many of my friends were not raised like that. They were raised very sheltered. So it's like, even the slightest moment they find out that a friend or a family member might be considered gay or bisexual, that's wrong. You can't know that individual. I think for us as a society, and this is just me, I think we're all human beings. We should just treat each other like human beings at the end of the day. And that's helped me even more so, because I want to get to know people's story, because I want to get to know them on another level if they want to get to know me on another level.
Correct.
You know, from a friendship standpoint, peer standpoint, colleague standpoint. I think a lot of companies have done well, even in the jobs that I've had. Companies have done very well in creating groups, you know, whether it's alliance groups or anything involving sexuality, racial groups. You know, again, it's just about understanding people's struggles and coming together as one. Do you feel like the wrestling community kind of has that nowadays, or it's more accepting, or do you still feel it's kind of...
I've never felt out of place in saying
yeah.
that was my biggest fear. I've said a lot before that yeah. if it wasn't for wrestling, I probably would have came out a long time ago, but I haven't seen any kind of a difference. I think a lot of, even though we all bicker at each other and we're like all little gossip,
yeah.
gossipers.
we're all, I think, a little bit of gossip whores in wrestling,
yeah,
so
we are,
to speak.
But
you know.
I still, even outside of like, you know, WrestlePro is one big family, but even yeah. outside WrestlePro, I always feel like we're one big, like, dysfunctional family.
Yeah, that's all we are. We're all just dysfunctional people. But yeah, we're all dysfunctional human beings to want to be able to do what we do on a daily, weekly basis. But go back, because I was going to get to this, and you just kind of opened the door for me on this. Mm-hmm. WrestlePro is a family. You started with WrestlePro, right?
Well, the other company, but yeah.
All right, so we'll just deem it as the other company. we'll leave people suspense to figure out which one that is. But basically, WrestlePro has been your home for the better part of 5 years.
Yes.
Talk about that family atmosphere, because I came into WrestlePro close to 2 years ago, and I've said it before, it's probably the best decision I ever made, because traveling around the indies for so many years, I had never been a part of a group like this, where it was everybody working under one banner to grow a promotion, whereas I was going from independent to independent to independent, trying to make a name for myself. And while I still am, I think I've had the most fun that I've ever had working with the group of guys here, because there's a purpose and there's a passion, and everyone has been given a platform to basically be themselves and kind of figure out who they are, and then be able to go out there and show the people what you can deliver. I mean, what has WrestlePro done for you in the last, you know, 5 years? I mean,
well, yeah, it's creative sense of that I have a home base and a, like a home family to kind of grow and, you know, train. And I think every wrestler in some sense nowadays, they're all trying to get around, they're all trying to make a name for themselves, but they all have that home base where they feel most comfortable and where they did grow as a performer, and it gave them that outlet to kind of branch out and go around all over the place so they can continue to grow. And that's what WrestlePro has done for me over the last 5 years, as well as present so many opportunities that I've, you know, accomplished over the course of my career.
Yeah, I think the opportunities that I've been afforded here in the last 2 years is probably more than I've been afforded anywhere in the last five. And I'm so grateful for the opportunities. And, you know, I know Pat has meant a lot to you in your career, mm-hmm. obviously growing. And again, in the 2 years I've been here, you know, Pat has you know, really done a lot for me, in a sense of being able to open up my eyes to doing things differently, and looking at things a little bit differently, and giving me a platform to finally just be myself as a performer. And, you know, it's nothing that he necessarily pulled me aside and said. It's just in the way that he teaches.
It's kind of through osmosis.
Yeah. You know, and just to look at things so differently. I mean, how has he changed your outlook on wrestling, especially in the last couple of years with the way wrestling has completely evolved?
Well, he's given me my only outlook, really, right. Since I've started here. Because the way people are trained down in NXT. You know, we have that connection there with, you know, Hawkins being there and all the connections that he has, all the friends that he's made over the years, whether it be down in OVW mm-hmm. or elsewhere. So we've always been trained in the sense of the way, like, basically the way you should be.
Yeah.
The way they teach you down in Florida. So he's played a vital role in my career. Dan Moff has played a vital role in my career.
He's played a vital role in, I think, so many people's careers.
Because I was still, was a pretty meek person. As like I said, I'm very shy. And I remember a show in, it was one of the smaller shows. I think I had a student show. And he's like, I'm going to watch your match. So I was like, oh my God. Moff's going to sit down and watch. And then I got back. I thought I did okay. And he goes, I'm kind of disappointed. And that just like broke my heart, because I don't want to, you know, disappoint my mentor.
Right.
And then he goes, I didn't see any aggression. I didn't see any, like, your strikes weren't, they didn't have anything behind them. I was like, okay. And then slowly but surely, you started to see the fire come mm-hmm. out. I mean, he brought that out of me. And whereas Pat taught me all the technical stuff, all the psychology stuff. So, like, there's so many different people who have helped along the way. Even, let's see, Mario Bacara. Hawkins has played a big role. The Heavenly Bodies have helped a lot, riding with them and Falaba. So there's been a lot of people who've played a pretty big role along the way.
Yeah, I think I would consider all the people that you mentioned now my current mentors. But even kind of coming up and learning from a Simon Diamond, you know, a Biggie Biggs, and yes, even, you know, the man who taught me my basics, you know, of Kevin Knight. You know, I had a lot of those great mentors early on, to which a lot of those guys learned from the guys that are not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to learn a lot of those basics and having a very old school mentality to the way I did things, you know, was really great for a certain period. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, being able to come here and learn some different things under Pat really opened my eyes on how to do things a little bit differently, a little bit more exciting. And where I always thought my intensity level was really good, finally being able to study under and learn under Dan Moff has given me a completely different outlook on intensity mm-hmm. and aggression. I feel like at this point, like, the two of them coming here and then learning from Mario and others, I feel like I was at some point a very, not a dark place, but I felt like I was in a stagnant place where I just didn't see my wrestling career really going anywhere, and just kind of felt like it was kind of towards the end a little bit. And then coming here just completely rejuvenated my love for why I do this. And I feel like I'm relearning again, but in a different way. And it's more exciting for me now than ever to get in there with different people and create different things, and being able to listen to the crowd a little bit more based on what I'm learning now. And just, I feel like if there was ever anybody, and again, I know there's lots of people out there to learn from, but I think if there were any two guys that really can put a stamp of approval on your in-ring work even more, it's Pat Buck and Dan Moff.
I agree.
So I know we're kind of wrapping towards the end here. I know you got to get your stretching on and all that stuff. We've got a big event here as we're taping this on November 18th. We've got a big event here at the Rahway Rec Center. But so what is where can people find you on social media? What's the how can they search for your YouTube channel?
On YouTube, honestly, I forget the URL, but just type in Michael and Anthony and we're the first channel that pops up. Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at Bowens_official. I do have a Facebook, but I'm keeping that as a personal, it's my only personal social network.
Right. Snapchat?
Yeah, Snapchat, Bobo_37, that's B-O-W-B-O-W.
MySpace?
That one. No, I deleted MySpace a long time ago.
First AOL username?
I think it was SFGiants452.
Nothing fun like Big Boy Sexy like Fala Bob?
No, it's always been something with the Giants.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me on this episode, and we'll catch up again another time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of B+ Player Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at B+ Radio. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Stitcher if you like what you heard today. And head on over to audibletrial.com/B+players to help support the network.